Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, it was Dell Match Play Week here in Austin. I was stomping the grounds all weekend long, taking you behind the scenes where a new number one was crowned. Plus a little Tiger gossip resurfaces just in time as that Masters entry deadline looms. We're tuned into some scammers and big time Oscars drama. And this week's guest is Hagen Parkman. She works for the PGA Tour and does some awesome Korn Ferry Tour content. You know we love our friends on the Korn Ferry Tour. We get into her fascinating background as well. Plus March Madness drama. We talk buffets and the best fast food burger. We debate when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Mike, you know we've been talking about Desert Fox Golf forever because we love the phone caddy so much. So let's just get to the point on how you can get a phone caddy. First, check it out at desertfoxgolf.com. You'll see what we're talking about and how portable and convenient this little device is because it allows you to be on the go. Whenever you're using your phone on the course, it's exactly what you need by your side. It adjusts easily into any phone of any size, pretty much. Really, any phone works well, and they have amazing customization options and different colors for their phone caddy. So check them out, desertfoxgolf.com. Our promo code COURSEOFLIFE will save you 10%. Again, promo code COURSEOFLIFE will save you 10%. At desertfoxgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Snacks, Club Doctor Golf, and Volvic. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was a historic weekend at Austin Country Club, and you were there to witness it all. But let's start with the big headline, and that is that Scottie Scheffler, who just took almost the same amount of time that Tom Brady was retired, went from having no wins on the PGA Tour to being the number one ranked player in the world. Wow.
Yeah, 42 days, I believe, was the time span between him having no wins and three wins on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. That's as hot gets. Mike, you know we love throwing the temporary crown, and we got to do it right now. Scottie Scheffler, not only in the rankings, but validated and certified the hottest golfer in the world right now. And he proved it with a big time win. And it was a dominant one. He definitely got some big time revenge. This is a guy that lost in the 2021 final last year to Billy Horschel. So he comes back to a course he loves and a town he loves in Austin, where he played college golf. And he goes all the way through the bracket, all the way through the weekend. And he avenges that loss, winning the championship. That's a special story for him to get to number one.
Yeah, you know, he was clearly overcome with emotion upon winning and really knowing that he was now the number one golfer in the world. And no better place to do it than really on his home course. If he were to have a home course, this was definitely it.
Yeah, at Austin Country Club. It was awesome. And that was a real long emotional hug there. I watched it. I was in the Dell tent at the 15th green where the match literally ended, and he was in full embrace with the wife, and you could tell how much this moment meant to him. Just kind of the way he got this win and how impressive and dominant it was down the stretch, beating a past champion Kisner as well too, and ascending that number one spot so fast, Mike. Yeah. Three wins, 42 days. The crazy stat I saw is the amount of money that Scottie Scheffler has made golfing in the last 6 weeks, Mike. Accounts to $147,000 per day in the last month and a half made by Scottie Scheffler on the golf course. So safe to say he's doing well.
Once again, we are all reminded that we were not gifted by the grace of God with immense talent to get all that money at one time, and clearly are in the wrong career fields as a result. So Scottie Scheffler now, the recurring segment, which we don't have a name for, we're going to need a name for this. I think I asked this after his first win. I think I asked it after his second win, and I'm going to ask it again, and I think I'm going to have a different answer. Over, under, a major for Scotty Scheffler this year.
Yeah, over under 0.5 on the majors. I mean, well, just the evidence is becoming staggering, and it's compiling now. So it's stacking up against me on my I'm not sure about Scotty Scheffler on a major championship stage take. That's could be crumbling real fast. Let's just say I'm going to stick with my under for right now, but the evidence is starting to compile against me. And listen, his level of heat, why are we not giving him a chance?
It's true. I will say, if he wins a major this year, then hand him the PGA Tour Player of the Year trophy and the FedEx Cup trophy now. Just do it now.
Yeah, could anyone lock it up earlier than he has? I don't think so. Three pre-Masters wins, Mike. You know the old adage, like the old adage is, golf season doesn't start till the Masters.
It's true.
Like,
yeah.
Scotty Scheffler says the hell of that. No. I start as soon as you tell me the season starts. He's on fire right now. Shout out to Scotty Scheffler and the UT Longhorn. Yeah, getting it done in front of the home crowd. It was really special to watch firsthand. The chip in I saw on Saturday afternoon, he holed out a wedge to end the match at 16, was special. The momentum was just there. You could feel it in the crowd. It was just all downhill all weekend, leaning towards Scotty getting the win.
And we'll talk about Scotty Scheffler more next week when we do a little Augusta preview ahead of the Masters. But for now, let's talk about everything else that went on kind of behind the scenes at the WGC Dell Match Play, because you were there all week as a volunteer. What were kind of your favorite things that you got to see during the week?
It's always interesting kind of watching the entourages move and the matchups that get presented. One of the interesting matchups that unfolded during the course of the weekend, Mike, is a frenemy, friendly rivalry, and I'm not really sure how close they are, with Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, who end up getting paired head-to-head against each other. Very intriguing matchup there. And it also presented two of the most popular wags in the world, Mike. These are two of the most popular wives/girlfriends in the golf community. And Paulina Gretzky, daughter of Wayne Gretzky, and Jenna Sims, Brooks Koepka's fiance. Those were the real celebrities out there in the crowd. I'm here to report that each one of those ladies took like no less than 100 to 150 photos with fans just walking through the gallery, Mike. You like everyone had to like stop and figure out who they were very fast, because that's how popular they were. That was my favorite piece of gossip from the weekend.
Yeah, that's when both of them are there, they're going to be just fighting it out to see who can get the best, most likes on social media.
they were more popular than the players. I swear, there were just several times when there were just a line of bros that were not watching Koepka or DJ hit in the 14th fairway of this match. They were actually just waiting to ask Paulina for herself. Like that's a real thing that happens on the sidelines of golf tournaments, for those who are wondering. So I found that amusing from a gossip standpoint. One thing I will bring up, which was interesting, was the tips that I learned from actually watching the world's best. I try and take away something, Mike. You know, we're talking to all these instructors and the world's best players, and I try and glean a little bit of knowledge. I would hope at this point it's wearing off on us. The scores maybe aren't necessarily showing for you and me, but I think over time it's going to help. The real big takeaway I got from the world's best this week, Mike, is we really don't, around the greens, we don't need to be hitting the ball all high and fancy. We just got to keep it low. And I can't tell you how many just awesome, easy bump and runs, pitches, wedges were done with less than 4 or 5 feet of elevation on the golf ball. Like, it's just like a lot of us want to overthink it and be the hero and hit the high shot in the moment. And I'm here to report that the world's best deem it unnecessary. So I think we should too.
I mean, let's keep in mind that the world's best are also really good at doing those bump and runs. So
I saw
you do what you're best at.
I saw all sorts. I saw 7-iron. I saw like a 3-wood bump and run, which is a very rare bird.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see that.
I don't see those. It's true. You don't see those. I'm a big fan of taking a 7-iron when you need it to roll out for a while. Or I'm a bigger fan of just putting from the fringe, or even like really, you know, if I can putt it, I'm going to putt it. I don't care where.
Well, that, that is the Texas wedge, Mike, as they say here.
True.
That's the Texas wedge. So I saw a lot of that as well too. It was a hard, fast Pete Dye course with it being a late freeze this winter here. So the ball was rolling. DJ hit a 422 yard drive. Kipke hit one 441 down the hill on the 12th. So a lot of rocket power this week, and it was fun to see it up close.
Let's talk about the LPGA Tour, because they had their final tune-up before their first first major tournament. And so we had the JTBC Classic this weekend, and we had a playoff, because of course we did. There's always playoffs. And
theme, yeah.
Yeah, so we had, I'm going to butcher her name once again, even though you told me how to pronounce it correctly, because this is what I do.
All right, exam time, here we go.
Thickafull. I can't even do it right.
Ataya Titicul.
Thank you. Winner. There you go. Winning by doing three-putt bogey on the second playoff hole to outlast Nana Quartz Madsen for the win. And gets to have that to roll into the first major of the season. So that's a pretty good feeling. It's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, they are coming back to California here for the major that unfortunately changes name and title like far too often for my take. What's it even called this year? I knew it first as the Dynashore Forever, and then I got to know it as the Kraft Nabisco, and then it changed names about seven more times from there. Yeah. What are we at this year with this tournament?
This is the Chevron Championship.
Yeah, I mean, okay, all right, it's got another new name. I still know the course they played at, and the 18th hole is iconic. I love watching the finish on the par five with the water, and the winner jumps into Poppy's Pond after, and they get soaking wet with the trophy ceremony. That's always a fun moment. But yeah, it would be great if we could get maybe a little bit more consistency to that name and venue so we can give it that true major championship treatment.
That's true. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let everyone know who wins. Not the same star power this year, because we have at least the world number one not playing this year.
Yeah, I know. And I know Nelly's going through a little bit right now, but regardless, the field's going to be good. It's good to see the ladies back on mainland as well, too. And I'm looking forward to a good stretch run in the LPGA.
Let's talk a little bit about the earth-shattering video that came out and news that has been released in the last day or so about one Tiger Woods. There was a video of him playing in Florida around the course.
It's a blurry video, a Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm. And then news of him going to Augusta this week, that he's going to play the course, test out the leg. He's still listed as playing in the field. Unlike Phil Mickelson, he hasn't been removed from the playing list. So could this be the first, you know, this already is the first year that probably either of us can remember without Phil Mickelson in the field from when we were little kids.
Yeah.
Could this also be the year that neither Phil or Tiger or in the field, or do you think Tiger is going to be playing?
Which is a true generational moment. Like if it's that passing of the torch where you don't see either one of them at Augusta. I mean, that's kind of a shock. That's like, wow.
I mean, I think Tiger's going to be at Augusta.
Oh yeah, he'll be there. And I'm going to be looking for him on Tuesday when I'm there as well too. I'm going Tuesday and I will be on the lookout. That's the champion's dinner day. So all the old guys will be back in form.
Not only do I expect to see Tiger in some capacity there during the course of the week, you know he'll be there. I expect to see him in the par three. Don't you think he's going to play the par three?
Oh, man. You know, that's what everyone's wondering. Well, I feel like it would be such a tease if he played the par three and then didn't tee it up Thursday morning.
I think if he plays the par three, he's not going to play the week. That's what I would think.
That would be an amazing tease if he went through on that note and played Wednesday and swung the club for nine holes. Granted, it's all wedges, and then didn't peg it. I mean, is there shame in him not being in good form at all and shooting 76, 77 and just missing the cut? Is that a big deal, or wouldn't we be glad to see him back?
I mean, I think people will be glad to see him back, but this is, you know, the Tiger fandom, which you are a card carrying member of.
That's right, I am.
I think that the expectation of Tiger being in a tournament is that he will win said tournament.
That's what he says. That is his old adage.
And that is his, you know. So if I see Tiger in a field, especially at a major, I expect him to be making the weekend. So
I mean, this is going to be interesting. Obviously, you're going to see a lot later in the week on social media from this test. I'm curious They don't allow any cameras on the course during tournament week. I doubt they do, you know, the rest of the year. So I don't know. Someone's going to get wind of this, the footage, and we're going to see what the test looks like at Augusta. But there'll surely be a verdict by the end of this week to see if indeed Tiger has removed himself from the field. The gut feeling I get is at the end of the week, he regrettably says, you know, as much as I want to play in the Masters, and I have tried and given it lots of thought, I've decided not to play. I think that's what's coming at the end of the week. But hey, you just never know. So we'll hold out on that news for now.
We'll see. We'll see indeed what will happen. This weekend, though, we got a couple things going on this weekend. Yeah. The first of note is that here in my neck of the woods in the Savannah area is the Korn Ferry's Club Car Championship at the Landings Club. And I'll be there. I'll be on the par 3 12th hole as a marshal. Love and we get to see everybody play there. So it'll be great.
Nice. Yeah, you're gonna get tee access, green access there. You know, you're gonna get to watch all the players come through and play a par 3. They'll switch the yardage on you. You get to used to some big pin conditions. You can see the staff put the pin in the morning. You know, if you're there in the afternoon, you get to see the leaders come through. Hopefully, you know, that sounds like a good time.
Yep, I'll actually be there Sunday afternoon on the 12th, so I will see all the leaders come through. And past guest Taylor Montgomery is in the field as far as we know right now, so nice. He'll be there, so that'll be good. And it'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun time.
Is this your first tournament volunteer experience on the golf?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Oh man, you're in for a treat. It's great watching these guys up close, and like we've said, the Korn Ferry is, you know, while it is a level below the PGA Tour, the level of competition and the level of golf is not. It's right there. So you're going to see it firsthand. I'm excited for your feedback on that.
Yeah, I will report in throughout the week, and we'll talk about it next week ahead of the Masters. Also this weekend is the Valero Texas Open. Typically a tournament that is kind of half forgotten leading into Augusta because it's just kind of a lot of guys take the week off. However, there's a lot of big names that are going to be playing this week, including Rory, Hideki, Jordan, and Beefy Bryson. I don't know why they're trying to win. I hope they're not, because as we know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you like want to win this week, you know, if you got your eyes on Augusta, too.
Yeah,
it's hard to go back to back weeks.
I wonder if someone's going to do the fill and put like three drivers in the bag and see which one he likes best and then use that one at Augusta.
This is just the testing grounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I joke. This is test module sequence number 2 for Bryson DeChambeau on the rehabbed wrist as he's coming back here. Things weren't too great at the match play. You could tell he was only going about 80% on his drives. He was using a bit of a different formula with his wedges and his chips, which looked a little cuppy and not ideal. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he looks. But, yeah, Masters tune-up for a lot of guys that are deciding to play or a week off for most. As far as picks, you're gonna look at a guy like Charlie Hoffman because he loves this tournament. He was won here. He's finished runner-up here a couple times. Maybe looking at Keegan Bradley on my card. We've seen his name at the Players' Championship recently. So that's a tease to what you could see on my full picks. But Wednesday evening, check out Twitter at CourseOfLife1, and you'll see my full card for who I like for the Valero Texas Open.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. All right, Alex, let's talk about it. Will Smith. Will you get my wife's name out of your mouth, Smith?
Wow. Will Smith pimp slapped Chris Rock on international television at the Academy Awards. That really happened, right?
It really happened. It is not a scripted moment. Chris Rock is not pressing charges against Will Smith. The Academy, however, has condemned Will Smith and is investigating the incident further and seeing what else they can do. And of course, we had the odd moment of we had the slap happen. We had Twitter explode.
Yes.
And shortly after, we gave Will Smith a golden trophy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with this, Mike, and we'll take you can take this whichever road you want to, and I'll take a path of my own. But I'm just really kind of appalled at the cadence of events that not only does Will Smith have the authority and the power in this stage and setting to walk up on a stage, slap another human being and then walk down without even security laying a hand on him. Not only that, he is so bulletproof in this setting, Mike, that we are then going to award him shortly after and give him a platform to say whatever he damn well pleases. What an amazing setting at the Oscars.
I will say, there is no excuse for violence of any kind.
That's right. We don't come down with violence in this podcast. That's right.
B, what an act of chivalry to protect his wife. C, Chris Rock should know better. you don't make jokes like that.
The joke was pretty flat as is, whatever. It's a meh joke. I mean, the thing with me and Will Smith's reaction, you know, the protecting the wife thing's fine, but his reaction is different than any other reaction this award show ceremony. And yeah, it was very confused as well too. But you know what happens typically in these awards show settings. The joke is over the top and it's made, and people in the crowd go, ooh, oh, oh. And the person who is on the receiving end of the joke, they could give an evil stare. You can give them the death stare. You can just not laugh and be stoic and not respect the joke. And then guess what? 2 seconds later, the next joke is what we're onto, and we don't care, and we've forgotten. But unfortunately, Will Smith couldn't have just had it play like that, and we get to where we are now.
I mean, does this make you want to watch the Oscars next year?
I mean, I definitely consume more Oscars content this year than I did last year.
Yeah, that's true. And let's face it, the real winner of all of this was the courtesy of Australian television and Japanese television that gave us the uncensored videos of this whole thing.
Shout out to the Eastern world, man. They just let it fly there. They don't care.
It was just crazy. Other than that, though, was there anything else that you were tuning into outside of this monstrosity that took over social media last night on a Sunday night?
Yeah, no, that was a crazy end of the weekend, indeed. A long weekend for me at the match play, concluding with that. But no, the YouTube wormhole the week for 60 seconds, Mike, was an interesting one. I got down a video wormhole where I was watching scammers and listening to scam phone calls and people get scammed, and also an account called Scam Baiter, which actually tricks the scammers and then doxes the scammers. So there's this whole kind of thing going on with scam phone calls that you may receive. We just now hang them up, or we're told in a warning fashion on our phone that it's a scam. But apparently there's a whole world out there of scammers and people trying to catch them. So that was my YouTube wormhole of the week.
Yeah, you know, I'm still waiting for my $100 million from the South African prince who I gave $1,000 to, so he could come stateside.
Some Nigerian scammers, and when they confronted them, Mike, they basically just said, "We're it's expensive to live here. We live in Cyprus because there's no tax laws, and we just got to find a way to make living for our family." Just so you know, those Nigerian scammers, they're not sorry at all that they're taking your money. If you had any questions about that,
That doesn't seem very princely of them. That's really disappointing.
Yeah, that's right. So they may not be the princes prince and princesses that they're telling you right now, Mike. Just as a warning.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, it's no secret that we love following the action of the Korn Ferry Tour. As we just said a moment ago, I will be there this weekend for the Club Kart Championship. And this week's guest is a PGA Tour employee who is all about covering the Korn Ferry Tour and their stories.
Yeah, Hagen Parkman's this week's guest, and it was a great chat with her. Talks about life, her very interesting background, and how she got to where she is working for the tour as well.
And we'll get into that conversation in just a moment. But first, let's talk about our favorite golf ball that we play with out there on the course. And that is the Volvic XT Soft and the Volvic Vivid. These are those bright colored golf balls out there on the course. And they're pretty fantastic. They come in a huge breadth of different colors, including in the Vivid, you can get a multi-pack. So you can get a little yellow, little orange, little red, little green, all together in one box, so you don't need to maybe pot commit to one color.
No, you match the shirt to your different colored shirts, the different colored golf balls. It's multiple vibes in one dozen golf balls.
That's right. And they play pretty great. I love the feel of these guys around the green. Really feel like I have a lot of confidence with that ball when I'm doing a couple little chips or pitches around the green, getting it close. At least for me, it's close. I'm sure for you, Alex, you're getting it right up there, just inches away from the cup every time. So head on over to Volvic's website. That's VOLVIK.com and get yourself a brightly colored golf ball. Hey, they also got merchandise, towels, accessories, and all the other cool stuff out there too. So go head on over to Volvic.com. It's performance in color. Volvic has a ball for every swing.
Next up on the tee, we have a media and communications specialist who works with the Korn Ferry and PGA Tour. She chases around people that chase around a little white ball, just like we all do here. I'll give her the title of a Korn Ferry Tour superfan as well, too. It's Hagen Parkman joining the Course of Life. Hagen, how are you today?
Hey, I am great. Thanks for that intro. I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. I think we're kindred spirits because of all the people we've come across in our Korn Ferry media covering days in the last few years. So we'll definitely get to that. But I do want to start out by mentioning one really honorable thing that I know you did is you served our country. So thanks first and foremost for your service. Tell everyone what branch you were in, what that experience was like for you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. So I enlisted into the Texas Army National Guard in 2018. And I went in as enlisted military police, and I went into it thinking it'd be kind of a part-time thing. I'll do some golf, I'll do my military experience, and it turned out to not be that way. I got deployed really quickly, right out the gates, out of training. So I went to Guantanamo Bay for about a year, and then I came home, COVID hit, so I worked that mission, and then the civil disturbances broke out. So I ended up being activated for almost 3 years. So what I thought was going to be a part-time thing turned into a 3-year stint. And then once that kind of slowed down a little bit, I got back into golf, which led me back to the Korn Ferry Tour. But I'm so grateful for my time that I have served. I'm technically still in. I have a little less than 2 years of reserve status to go, but I'm very grateful to have been able to serve at something I've wanted to do since I was a little girl. So I've given hardly nothing compared to people who have sacrificed everything for our country. So I'm very grateful to be clumped in with those group of people.
Very awesome. I'm curious what that decision was like in the moment, because I know you'd had some experience working for the All Pro Tour and you were in, you know, golf content and broadcasting and covering the game and then stepped away to the Army. What was that decision-making process like for you, making that decision at that moment in your life?
It's funny. So I was actually interviewing for a job with the PGA Tour a couple of months before I enlisted, and it didn't work out. It wasn't the right time. And I say this in all, you know, everyone I talk to, I'm religious, and I had felt God asking me to kind of lay my life down and do something a little more selfless. And like I said, I wanted to serve since I was little. And so once the PGA Tour job initially didn't work out for me, I kind of just stood back and reevaluated what I'm doing. And the main thing for me was I don't want to look back with any regrets on my life. I want to live my life to the fullest and give absolutely everything that I have. And feeling like God was asking me to do this, there was no way I could turn away from that. It was just so strong in my heart. So that's kind of how it came about. It happened really quickly. And anyone who's in the military will tell you the recruiting process doesn't allow you time to think. It's like once you're in that office, before you know it, you're going to blink and you're in a uniform. And so I went in and I enlisted. And before I knew it, I was off to basic training. So it was kind of a crazy whirlwind thing. It was more so for me, I wanted to do it. And I wanted to look back on my life and say, I tried. And if nothing came of it, then nothing came of it. But I wanted to have no regrets and joining the military and giving back to my country and serving people was something that I wanted to have as a part of my life.
I love that. Very honorable. And it's funny how did things work out full circle for you in the end, being back where you are now. Very, very neat how that came to be. In terms of golf for yourself in your life, were you always a golfer growing up? How much was the game involved for you specifically as a kid?
So I wasn't involved in golf at all. And I wish I would have been, you know, whenever I have kids one day, I definitely plan to put them in golf from an early age. Yeah. But I was not around golf growing up. I didn't watch it. I was not interested by it, to be honest. In college, of course, like a lot of girls do in college, I wanted to drive the the beer cart, essentially. I thought I'd make some good tips, and that was my extent of golf knowledge. Right. And so when I went in to apply, they ended up throwing me in the pro shop. So from working in there, I learned a little bit about golf, but then I started to really enjoy the community, and I started to see how it brings people together. And so working there in college led me to my first job with All Pro Tour. And I saw they were hiring for a digital, you know, social media manager. And so I just applied thinking like, hey, why not? Let's just go for it. And it's just taken off from there. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about golf now, because I come from a place where I thought golf was boring, and I thought, who wanted to watch this? And now I'm so involved in it, and it's become my life. And so that's why I'm so passionate about KFT, to get the word out and hopefully get other people as involved as I am.
Yes, I love that. Very cool. And so now you're literally in the heart of it all, from going from no golf to all golf at the HQ in Jacksonville, you know, at the Players and the whole nine yards. Did you know much about just kind of like the hub of the PGA Tour and everything that represented, from, you know, Sawgrass to the HQ itself, before you even arrived, or was that all new to you?
You know, you hear about the PGA Tour, and obviously it just sounds like a humongous company and everything that they do, but I didn't know like the extent of it. Whenever I got there, just seeing the building, I literally was in shock. I'm like, this is the nicest building I've ever seen in my life. It's just, I've never had a corporate type job before. And so that was a shock to me. And then they take really good care of us there. And that's not me even like trying to plug the PGA Tour, but they do, they look out for their employees. And when it comes to like Sawgrass and other benefits that we get, that was just icing on the cake. I didn't expect any of that coming into the job. I just thought, you know, it'd be really cool to work for the tour. And so getting to be up there is an honor. And I just pray that like, I never view it differently. I never, you know, get used to going to work up there. I hope that every day I show up, I'm like, I'm in awe. And you'll probably, if you follow me, see all my stories, I'm constantly posting what it looks like from the outside and different things that go on there, because I'm just so mesmerized by it. I think it's incredible, and it's even more magnificent than I even pictured before I started the job, to be honest.
Yes, don't ever get jaded by that role. And we appreciate that, following along on Instagram as well. It's Hagen Parkman if you want to check it out. But I love the perspective from the new employee as well. But talk us through your role day to day. You mentioned the Korn Ferry Tour, aka KFT, which you're working a lot on specifically. What are you doing on a day-to-day basis? Are you physically going to headquarters? Are you working at home? What does your schedule look like?
So it's a very hybrid job. We travel a lot. So I'm a media official. I'm still obviously learning the ins and outs of my position. I started in December, so I'm coming up on my 90-day mark just a couple days ago. So I'm still learning exactly what it looks like. However, like I said, we travel. I go to 15 events this year, I believe, out of the 26. And then in my off weeks, I go into the office a couple of days out of the week. So a lot of what I do is kind of background before the tournament. So building tournament notes, reaching out to tournament directors, asking them what do they want out of the event, and then us trying to produce it from a player standpoint, from a public relations standpoint, and then building on stories of the players who are going to be in the field. So when it comes to tournament week and I'm on site, I can pull certain players and say, hey, tournament wants you for this. We need to interview you about this specific topic. And then we write about it also. So we kind of have a hybrid job. It's more broken up on the PGA Tour, but for KFT, we wear a couple different hats. So it's a lot of tournament preparation, interviewing with the players, building stories, writing stories, and then pitching it to digital as well and saying, hey, I met this guy today. He has a really unique story. I think you should talk about him, which is really where my heart is. And it's promoting these guys. And so getting to be involved in that is probably my favorite part of the job.
Yeah. And those storylines are what compels the casual golf fan to check out Korn Ferry and learn more about that coverage. Because, you know, admittedly, the people that are on the Korn Ferry Tour, they're not the greatest and most well-known golfers in the world. So people want to latch on and see that familiarity with the storylines. And I think that's what the Korn Ferry Tour has done a really good job of showing in the last few years. What's your favorite part about telling these stories and learning about these guys who are, they're seemingly just like us, even though they're just one step away from a life-changing career on the PGA Tour?
Right. Like you said, they're just like us, but they're also one shot away from being the next Scottie Scheffler, for example. I mean, literally one shot away, 1 week away from that. And which is why I love working on the KFT, because you have guys that are sleeping out of their Honda Civics. And then you had Ben on, who showed up in his was it a Porsche or whatever he was driving that week? So there's just this melting yes. pot of guys, but they're still striving and working so hard. I'm not saying PGA Tour pros don't, but KFT guys are waking up every morning with that PGA Tour card in their mind. And so they're grinding week in, week out, and they're sacrificing a lot to maybe not make as much as a PGA Tour pro. So they're having to work just as hard for a little bit less. And they have families, they have kids that they're just trying to chase these dreams. And so I want to promote them and say, like, hey, let's get on these guys, you know, on their team before they get on the PGA Tour. And it builds a personal connection between the KFT guys and the audience. So when Scottie Scheffler, you know, wins twice in the beginning of the season, people aren't like, who is this guy? But rather they can be like, oh, I've been watching him since KFT. I know this and this about him. I feel like he's a friend and I want to get behind what he's doing. And that's why I love KFT so much and what I hope that we can do for the players that are on our tour.
Yes, that totally fits the vibe of this podcast as well. That's exactly what we're doing here is growing the game for everyone and highlighting what's up and coming. So I respect that totally. One storyline I have to get to, because I know you covered it very closely. It's a very unique one on the Korn Ferry Tour. I got to talk about Akshay Bhatia. So this is a young and up and coming golfer. For those who don't know him, he had a very interesting week winning in the Bahamas, in which he enlisted his girlfriend to caddy for him that he met on Instagram. I'll let you take it from there. What was your favorite part about covering that entire story?
That story was by happenstance. And I'm not going to sit here and say I did some kind of crazy research. It was one of those things where for me, I can walk up and talk to a brick wall if I have to. And so Akshay, I was there technically on behalf of Sandals that week, and Sandals brought me out to help build their content. So they were like, hey, if you see a couple out here, a guy and a girl, a guy and a girlfriend on the bag, try to build a story. Let's talk with them. And so I knew the youngest guy in the field was Akshay, and I saw him and he had a girl with him, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to try to build some sort of storyline for Sandals. And so I asked Akshay, I'm like, hey, do you mind if I follow you for a hole and I just do a walk and talk with you and get to know you a little bit better? And so as we're walking, it's me, him, and his girlfriend, Presley. And I'll just throw in there, they're incredible people. I felt like I was friends with them right off the bat. So that made it a lot easier as well. But I start recording and I'm walking and listening and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is insane. Like, this is such a good story. And so, of course, the minute I finish recording, I message all of our digital content people. And I was like, we've got to get this out. This is such a cool storyline. And so we did, we produced it. Sandals had it as well. And then the fact that he won, it was just like icing on the cake for everyone. Cause we had the story out earlier in the week. And I mean, it did well with, I mean, Presley helped, I think, the engagement on it. It was just an interesting storyline, but the fact that he won, just, it made me happy for the both of them because it gave them both, I think, credit where some people weren't giving them it before. So I was happy to see Akshay get it done that week.
That was awesome. Now I got to wonder, has she done any further caddying appearances? Has Akshay moved on to a full timer, or what's the status there? Are they even still together at this point?
They are still together. And okay, I know he has another caddy named Jonas, and Jonas has been caddying since, I want to say he started the week after, I think in Abaco. And he's been with Akshay. So I think he has plans to stick with this caddy. I'm sure if the caddy ever couldn't make it, then Presley would step back in. But he does have a full-time caddy. And I'm not sure if Presley will make another appearance, but she still goes to the tournaments and still is there to support him. So
I got to say, has he won since that week with her on the bag?
He has not won since that week. He's been battling some injuries and things as well.
Okay.
So it's been a tough couple of weeks, but he played well at our last event in Lee Calm or in Sarasota. So he's doing good. He's fine. It's just, he's battling some injuries and hopefully he can bounce back soon and grab him another win and get that tour card.
Very cool. Yeah. That's just an example of some of the really cool, wild storylines that you're following on the Korn Ferry Tour. Again, it's Hagan Parkman joining us right now. You're based, like you mentioned, in Jacksonville and TPC Sawgrass. We just had the Players Championship in the rear view, and it was an interesting week at that. Mother Nature put up a 12 round fight and plans had to be adjusted, but the Monday finish happened. But covering it yourself, what was your favorite part of experiencing the tournament week there?
Yes. So I had kind of tweeted about this, but I went to the Players in 2017 as a spectator, and I, of course, was in awe, and I just thought this is the coolest thing ever. And this is my first PGA Tour event back since then. So since my military time and everything, this is my first actual PGA Tour event. So that was really special for me to have a media credential and be able to do what I did throughout the week. I'm not technically on, obviously, PGA Tour comms full time. I work for PGA Tour, but I'm more so Korn Ferry. So my role was limited, but I still was able to be in the mix. And that in itself was enough for me. I had the best week. And obviously, like you said, Mother Nature has some hands and she was putting up a good fight. But yeah, just to see how the PGA Tour runs things and on a back end, how they handle everything that's thrown their way, it was really incredible, and it made me even more proud to work for the PGA Tour. And, you know, people ask me, you know, I bet you can't wait to get out here one day, you know, one day you'll be covering the PGA Tour. And I just, you know, I want to be clear that, like, I'm so happy on the KFT that that's not even my intention. I love covering where I'm at. So while it was a great experience, it made me also really happy to go back to my KFT crew. And it was lit a fire under me to go cover these guys, you know, even better this week and next week. So it was an awesome experience for sure.
Yes, I can tell true allegiance is had towards the Korn Ferry Tour. I don't think it was unfair to call you a super fan indeed.
Yeah, definitely. That's fair. I believe it's so important to be all in where you're at. And
no, yeah, you definitely are indeed all in. It shows every week. I love the tweet that you tweeted out last week when you were covering the tournament, that you were like gleefully arriving hours before you were called to the course. So that's, I can tell you're really about your job.
Yes, I do. I'm very grateful for it. That's for sure.
Awesome. Again, it's Hagan Parkman joining us. Let's get to some quick shot questions before we wrap up here. Really cool travels you had to Bahamas for the Korn Ferry Tour. And I saw you got to do an extremely touristy thing, which I'm very jealous of. You got to spend time with the pigs on the beach. Were they friendly or not?
They were not having it. Unless you had food, they really wanted nothing to do with you. And so it just goes to show how Instagram's not reality. Like in the photos, it looks cute and fun, but they were not happy that I was touching them. And apparently they're notorious for biting people. So we tried our best and we got some photos, but it was still an incredible experience and I'd recommend it to anybody. But yeah, they weren't thrilled.
That's awesome. Let's take a left turn and talk quickly about your deployment. I'm curious, was there ever a moment during any deployment at all? Because I've seen shades of like golf life happening on military bases. Did you ever have any sort of golf setup or like even an opportunity to hit a putt or a shot anywhere unique while you were deployed?
So you know what's funny? Golf is a big thing in the military. I think on deployment especially, there's not much to do. So we would find random golf balls and get clubs and we would hit it outside of our, like, not our base, but like our headquarters for our job. And I can't say exactly where that was, but yeah. We definitely found ways to pass the time. But to be honest, we had a course out there and it was awful. Like I didn't even go out and bother to try to play on it because it's kind of like they put a patch of grass down and you hit into some dirt and then you do the same thing for the next shot. You carry on like a thing of grass with you. So I didn't do that, but yeah, we would hit some golf shots on our base and that was a great time.
Wow. You had to literally bring your own fairway to the course. It sounds like that's awesome. One course where I know you don't have to bring your own fairway is Sawgrass. And I saw on your Instagram, allegedly, no proof, but I want you to definitively tell us here. You did birdie 17. Is that right?
Okay. So no, I did not. Let me just get that out there. And whenever I wrote the tweet, I am an awful golfer and I will be the first one to say that. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I just assume people know that. And I realize that's not the way to go about it, but I was joking. Like, yeah, obviously I made a birdie here,
I love it.
But there's no proof. And everyone's like, oh yeah, well show us the proof. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this did not age well. Like I should have worded this totally different, but nope, no birdies were to be had. Not yet, but whenever the time comes, you'll be the first to know.
Very cool. One random thing I had to get to when I was researching for our conversation was I saw that you had a true once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'm not talking about trying to birdie the 17th at Sawgrass. You got to go on a reality show I've been watching for a long, long time in The Amazing Race. With your mother, of all things, I'm curious, how did the opportunity come about just to be on the show in the first place?
Yeah, so it's kind of a long story that I'll try to, you know, put into this podcast. But it basically, my mom is a very witty flight attendant, and she had this spiel that she recorded on her phone go viral on YouTube. And if you look up hilarious Southwest flight attendant, you'll see a blonde woman with a megaphone thing on the plane.
Nice.
That's her. And it blew up on YouTube. And I was the one that told her to upload the video to YouTube so she could send it to her friends, thinking nothing of it. And within a week, we had 10 million views. It went nuts. And so she got to go on the Ellen Show. She got to do like Good Morning America. And then Amazing Race was hosting the season 28 for social media influencers. And so we were part of the cast that got to go on it. We initially weren't. And then another famous person like broke their ankle, and so they put us in. But we were the bottom of the barrel when it came to like followers and quote unquote fame. But we had the time of our life. We didn't make it very far, excuse me. But we made it 2 episodes. And I think if you watch it, we were kind of set up, I think, because they put us in a certain cab. We didn't get to pick. And our cab driver was driving obnoxiously slow.
Oh, the worst.
And so, yeah, at the end, we ended up running instead of taking the cab because it was that bad. Like, we had goats passing us on the side of the road. And we're like, this is ridiculous. So the running is what ended up costing us finishing or continuing on in the race. So we didn't make it very far, but we had an absolute blast. And I would do it again, even if it was second to last, or, you know, second episode eliminated. But hopefully if I do it again, it would be a little bit better of a finish.
No, what a great triggering of events from your mom's viral video to that as well, too. Everyone check out that on YouTube and the clip of your mom. I'm going to follow that as soon as we get off here. But let's wrap up with our 19th whole question presented by our friends at Lynx Drinks, Transfusion in a Can. The question is very simple. You get into that amazing clubhouse at TPC Sawgrass, which I know you've definitely been in. It looks fake, to be honest. But when you get in there after a round or after a day at work, and you get into the 19th hole, it could really be anywhere for that matter. What's like your go-to meal and drink you'd like to order at the end of a long day?
Okay, wait, at the end of a long day? Oh man, I'm a big burger and beer girl, like just Southern as it gets right there.
Yep. Tell me you're from Texas without telling me you're from Texas.
I know. It's so embarrassing. They'll be like, what's your favorite drink? And most girls are like, oh, vodka tonic. And I'm like, oh, you know, Coors Light or whatever. But yeah, burger, beer, and French fries with ranch is like my, you know, guilt meal that I would 100% have after a long day. But when it comes to TPC Sawgrass, I usually go with a margarita and their Brussels sprouts. Keep it a little more classy because I already feel like I'm a little out of place there. But yeah, I'll drink or eat anything that's in front of me. So it's pretty easy.
Love it. Margarita and Brussels sprouts. Very, very nice combo there indeed. Yeah. Hagan, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to staying in touch and seeing everything that you're doing on the Corn Ferry Tour as well too.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast. This is awesome.
That interview is brought to you by Club Dr. Golf, the number one golf club care solution. They've got two great products to keep your clubs squeaky clean. They've got the iron polishing solution, which helps restore that original shine for more thorough cleaning of dirt, grass, grime, and everything else that sticks to your clubs. And then the club cleaning solution, which conveniently clips right onto your golf bag, making it easy to clean your clubs out there on the course. Clean clubs improve your club performance, your ball spin, your ball speed, and your control, and give you just a little bit better attitude when you look down there and see a nice, clean club staring back up at you. So bring your clubs back to life and restore your club's original shine with Club Doctor. Either the cleaning solution or the polish is the quick and portable solution you need on the course. So head on over to clubdoctorgolf.com. Use our promo code COL to get 15% off any purchase. Again, that's clubdoctorgolf.com and promo code COL for 15% off. And we're back. Great chat there with Hagan. Always inspiring to hear these stories of people that are able to kind of drop everything and go back to what they love to do and now have these really awesome careers doing.
Yeah, and awesome. Like tirelessly thankful to people like her serving our country under circumstances like that too. You know what I mean? She went out of her way for that service. And that's what's so impressive about everything she did. And obviously getting that call and getting back to the PGA Tour is amazing, how she really kind of, brought that to life. And she definitely made that her own. So impressive conversation there with Hagen. Looking forward to seeing all of her cool Korn Ferry content. And we'll see her probably out there at a lot more tournaments soon as well.
Well, indeed. And if you like that conversation with Hagen, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, go ahead and punch that subscribe button. Leave us a 4-star rating. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know you love us. If you don't want to do that, then why don't you go listen to some other golf podcast?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's lots of options out there, but we appreciate you sticking with us. So again, hit that subscribe button in 3, 2, 1. Thank you.
Let's talk a little March Madness right now. It was a depressing weekend because I cannot be strutting anymore, Alex.
Are you succumbing to Coach K? Is this going to happen? Because the whole world feels like they're willing to happen right now.
UNC is going to win over Duke. That's a guarantee. All right, that's happening. So
we failed 4 times now trying to eliminate Duke from this tournament. So they have made it to the Final Four, and it's setting up this unbelievable rivalry. It would have been either St. Peter's. Shout out St. Peter's. We love our Peacocks, and that was an amazing run. Or it would have been UNC. Lo and behold, it's the Tar Heels. So just to refresh, so we can turn back the clock about a month or so, okay? About a month or so ago, Coach K had one of the priciest tickets in the history of sporting events for his final home game being coached at Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was against his arch rival UNC, and UNC went in there in his final game coach in his home gym, and they whooped that ass. And it was embarrassing, if you remember that night. And I was telling that UNC team big time the week after. And here we sit now.
You know what's a good current metaphor that we can put this in?
Yeah.
Coach K was Chris Rock. Oh, and UNC was Will Smith.
Oh, are you saying there's a stage storming coming soon, next this Saturday evening? I mean, if UNC delivers one more slap to Duke this season, it could not be on a bigger scale. These teams, Mike, have met over 200 times in their historic rivalry. It's one of the historic rivalries in college basketball. They have had blows and blows traded back and forth for decades, but never met in the NCAA tournament, and especially not on this scale in the Final Four. So it's Duke versus UNC on one side. Just an unbelievable rivalry coming to fruition there. And then on the other side is my bracket Super Bowl championship. This is for all the marbles for me, Mike. I'm in a pool where the ultimatum is set. I picked Villanova to win the entire tournament, but I don't even need them to win on Monday night, next Monday night. I just need them to win Saturday against Kansas, and the entire bracket winnings and earnings are mine. So that's going to be my Super Bowl, is to see who plays the winner of that Duke-UNC game. But nonetheless, a pretty epic Final Four set up.
It really is. It'll be a fun weekend in college basketball for sure. Let's quickly bid adieu to our Quinnipiac University men's ice hockey Bobcats. Really depressing weekend for us. It was a really depressing Sunday.
Yeah, it was, because they got all the way to that matchup in the regional final against Michigan. It was just chock full of NHL talent. And they got the first 4 punches straight in the mouth. And it was basically a knockout. Until it wasn't, and the Bobcats showed a tremendous amount of fight, but alas, not enough to get it done.
Yeah, 3 goals in under 10 minutes for Quinnipiac to climb within 1 in the third period. Yeah. And then doing a typical Coach Rand Pecknold move and pulling the goalie early, like with just about 5 minutes left, they pulled the goalie. And to everyone who's like, why would you pull a goalie with 5 minutes left? That's way too early. Would you rather lose by 2 instead of 1? Or would you rather tie the game?
A lot of criticism about that move. And a rare critique of Coach Pecknold.
He's critiqued every time he does this. The biggest critique around Pecknold is he pulls the goalie early. You're in a game you need to win, and you're down by 1 goal. what does it matter when you pull the goalie? You need to score a goal. I actually completely agree with this move.
I don't hate being over aggressive in the spot either, but it was interesting to see that backlash. So nonetheless, the end of that season, I know everyone out there is really sad at the fact they're not going to get any more Quinnipiac winter sports updates, but there's always next season.
There is indeed, but that's okay because we'll be talking baseball for sure, because, you know, Albert Pujols is a Cardinal again for his final season in Major League Baseball.
Love that.
That's hashtag always end with food.
Yep. Brought to you by Toasty Bites, makers of Toasty Snacks and the Pop Bites. I love their new flavor, Mike, the PB&J Toasty Bites. I mean, that's just delightful. All the wonder and mystique of the classic peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the health and on-the-go energy you need from Toasty. They're in golf courses around the world, but you can find them, courtesy of us, 20% off at toasty.com/COL. I'm going to lead the way, Mike. I was at the match play this past weekend, and the food was great there, as always. You know, had your taco options, your barbecue options, your protein bowl options, and all the great Austin food options. But nothing is better on Sunday when you get into a nice hospitality center and you see just a full-on buffet spread. It was all mine, and it was nothing short of glorious.
Yeah, what was the best thing? Did they have crab cakes?
They did. You'll be happy to know they did have crab cakes. There was a wonderful little fried chicken slider, little reminiscent of Chick-fil-A as well, too. They had assortment of different dessert snacks as well. Little pimento cheese as well. Just to whet the appetite for Augusta National next week when I consume about five of those in a very unhealthy manner. It was snacks abundant all day on Sunday. Nothing like just a buffet spread that's all yours. I certainly had at it. It was fun to live the sweet life for a day.
Nice. For me this week, I revisited a place that we've all known and love, and that's Five Guys. It's been quite a while since I've had a good old Five Guys burger and fries, which makes me want to ask the question, Alex, what place has the best fast food burger? Is it Five Guys? Is it Whataburger? Is it Shake Shack? Is it In-N-Out? I mean, where is it?
This is a very regional question. I'll give you context here in Austin. I'd say the three that typically come up in this conversation are Whataburger, In-N-Out, like you said, those two national brands, and a local brand here called P. Terry's. They're all in a very similar price point. There's lots of hot takes as which one you like or where you rank those in your top three. But generally speaking, those are the most contentious ones. There is one Five Guys in Austin, maybe two. There's not many, but it's much more of a topic on the East Coast as to where Five Guys sits in that ranking. I personally like Five Guys more than In-N-Out, more than Whataburger, and maybe just behind P. Terry's. So I would prefer Five Guys myself to those other national brands. Where do you sit?
You know, this is interesting. And I think part of this is how readily available is the burger for you. You say that, you can only go to maybe one place in Austin to get Five Guys. I can't get Whataburger anymore. And for the short time that I was able to have it, it was hands down my favorite fast food burger. And it still is to me. Whataburger is the best. Now, that said, I haven't had Shake Shack and I haven't had In-N-Out, so I don't have those two to compare it by. But Whataburger to me is easily the best. Five Guys is a close second. Five Guys does have the best French fries.
I think there's a little bit of that miss me mode, that FOMO mode with you, because like I think Whataburger stays or moves up the rankings for you since you don't have the ready access to it. You kind of miss it a little bit more and you want it more than what you already have in front of you. So there's a little bit of that going too, but I love that debate. That's an endless debate. If you have takes on your burgers, be sure to shoot us a message or follow us on Instagram at @alwaysendwithfoodpod for food content there. That's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. And next week it's here, Mike. Well, we're gonna talk off record. We're gonna need to do an early recording because I am out to Augusta Monday. It's going to be a fun time and I'll have all sorts of Masters content incoming. Until then, we'll see you next week.